Elise here with episode 3. Thank you so much if you're listening again, and welcome if you're a new listener. Today, I'll be talking about the haunted theaters of BC. I'd like to first off thank Johnny from the Vogue Theater and Gordon from the Wild Horse Theater for sending me some great stories about these places. Interestingly enough, the sightings at these theaters are pretty similar, as you'll hear. I think in general, a theater has a lot of emotion within its walls, from the many performances, both good and bad, and plays that cover an array of genres, so you really have a mixing pot of all kinds of emotion in these buildings. On top of the performances, you also have so much emotion coming from the audience. People who have laughed and cried for decades in those hallowed walls. So something that I've realized is that while there may not have been a death on the premises, a former employee or avid theatergoer may have wanted nothing more than to come back to the stage for all of eternity. So come with me while I explore 4 of British Columbia's most haunted theaters. The first theater is the incomparable Vogue Theater at 918 Granville Street in Vancouver. This theater was built in 1941 and was, in the beginning, primarily a movie theater that sometimes hosted live performances as well. The theater closed in 1988, but happily reopened in 1991 after being renovated back to its original glory. It appears that there are a couple of spirits who are still residing at the Vogue. Now, I'd just like to say that I'm going to link all of the articles I've used in my research on the Episode 3 blog, and there are some great interviews and photos of each of the locations. The employees and actors at Vogue have dubbed the theater's catwalk area Ghost Highway, and a narrow basement corridor as the Haunted Highway. There have been sightings of spirits and shadows in these areas, as in the case of one employee who felt something brush against his shoulder and move past him as he was above the audience area on the catwalk. He described the temperature as suddenly dropping, and he could see for certain that he was alone. I spoke with the current manager, Johnny, who hasn't experienced anything himself, but he's heard stories that run the gamut of apparitions to flickering lights. He recounted a time when their in-house lighting director had his son in to help him with lighting maintenance. And his son had looked to the stage to see a woman who he described as 1930s looking. The woman was just floating around on the stage. The kid was so scared he didn't want to come back inside the building for years afterwards. Johnny also said that people talk of seeing a man in the projection booth. His understanding is that the projectionist was trapped in the room and burned to death due to the reels catching fire. Now, I think this actually did happen more than it should have back in the day. The film was highly flammable, but I haven't found any records of there ever being a fire, or certainly a fire that resulted in a death. He also said that another rumor is that there was a mob hit and someone was shot in the basement, where people see a sharply dressed man moving between the doors. There was another time back in the 90s when a drum set was set up on stage for a Beatles tribute band, and as the manager Bill Allman was coming up the stairs from the lower level, he heard a distinct basic drum beat. When he got up to the stage, there was no one there, but he has always maintained that what he heard was real. The sound was loud and completely solid. One night when he was locking up in the theater and was alone in the building, he was down in the carpentry room when he was overcome by a feeling that someone was right behind him. He turned around to see a 3-dimensional shadow float past the door. In a couple other articles, I did see that this shadow has been seen in other parts of the theater, and by other people as well. In the summer of 96, the box office worker was alone in the lobby and sensed something. She looked around and caught a glimpse of this shadow figure going up the stairs to the balcony. In yet another instance, a singer from a performing musical group in 2000 was headed to his dressing room and felt as though someone was walking with him. He still could feel the presence when he got to his dressing room and reportedly felt the need to say out loud, "If you want to hang out, that's cool." Now, the infamous spirit is described pretty consistently as a dark-haired man with severe or sharp features, approximately 30 years old and wearing light-colored clothing or a light-colored dinner jacket. He is seen all over the theater, really, but mostly in places where the employees go, which leads many people to think that he's a former employee. Now, there's a long, long list of sightings associated with the Dapper Man, as I call him. In an interview with DailyHive.com, Bill recounts the most notable experiences. In 1955, during a performance of Unforgettable, the performer by the name of Shane McPherson was in the middle of his song and dance number of Route 66. Bill was watching him from the back of the house and saw that in the middle of everything, Shane dropped his cane, blew his dance steps and his lines, and left the stage. When he went downstairs during the interval, he found Shane in the dressing room and he was distraught. Bill asked him what happened, and Shane said, "I don't know if you're going to believe what I'm about to tell you." He told Bill that while he was doing his routine, he saw a man come into the audience from the fire exit near the front row, stage left. The man looked up directly at him with a blank look on his face and then dissolved into thin air. This is the shocking sight that caused Shane to mess up his performance that night. When Bill asked for a description of the man, what do you think he said? 30-ish, dark hair, severe features, and wearing light clothing. Sounds like the Dapper Man, doesn't it? Just the next day, a theater employee saw the ghost of the Dapper Man. While locking up for the night, he walked across the front of the stage and happened to look at the projection booth. This is where he saw someone standing in the doorway. The body was in shadow, but the man's face was very clearly visible, and again, matched the description of the Dapper Man. As the employee continued to stare up at the man, he dissolved right in front of him, just the same way Shane had seen the night before. Apparently, two mediums visited the theater in the early 2000s, and both sensed that someone may have fallen backstage, but they weren't sure if the person was injured or killed in the incident. This information has not been verified, and actually, I also was not able to come up with any records of a death happening at the Vogue Theater. Possibly this man worked at the theater and just didn't want to leave. The next theater is also actually located on Granville Street in Vancouver, the Orpheum Theater. The Orpheum Theater opened in 1927 and with vaudeville coming to an end in the 30s, became primarily a movie house. In the 70s, however, the theater was saved from becoming a multiplex and became the permanent home to the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. The theater is so beautiful. They really knocked it out of the park when they renovated it back to the 1920s style. Besides the paranormal draw, it's honestly like just a beautiful place to see. There are a few stories floating around about the Orpheum, though the theater itself does not really encourage ghost stories. So here are the couple that I've been able to drum up. There is a spirit of a former bathroom attendant who hangs out in the men's bathroom in the basement and appears to not appreciate if women use the bathroom. The main hall of the theater has the most activity with the ghost of a well-dressed woman who's been seen in the upper tier of the audience giving a standing ovation to the acts that perform. There's a legend or a rumor, however you want to call it, that a man fell to his death while performing in a vaudeville act. It would have been in those first couple years of operation. He was apparently an acrobat whose spirit remains today. This man is seen on stage mostly by the staff and sometimes appears as a ball of light floating around the stage. Much like the Vogue, I wasn't able to confirm that there were any deaths like this that happened, but it doesn't mean it didn't. You would just think something like that would most likely be in the paper at the time. So theater number 3 is the Wild Horse Theater in Fort Steele, BC, and I'll be talking more about Fort Steele in the up-and-coming Ghost Town episode. Now, the theater is actually not original to the town. It was built in 1972 as an attraction. They used to use the opera house or a large tent that would be set up in adjacent fields, but soon the performance needs just outgrew these venues, and a theater was commissioned. The Wild Horse Theater seats approximately 500 people and was done in a Victorian style to fit the rest of the town. I spoke with Gordon, the theater manager and creative director. He's been with Fort Steele for just over a year. He's a self-described man of science. He said, though, that many of the people that he's worked with completely believe what they've seen and heard. He said that he hears different stories from all around the park. Not that often, he said. Maybe every couple weeks. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty often. He admitted that he is human after all, and being in an empty theater alone can of course feel creepy, but he just doesn't think it's supernatural. It seems as though every building has its own ghost, and the Wild Horse is no exception. His name is George. The story of George goes back to the 70s, when a janitor by that name was working at the theater. He was called in one night to confirm that the smoke machines had been turned off, and he was never seen or heard from again. They know he went into the theater because his wallet and keys were found in an office, but there was no trace of George, except for his shoes, which were found across the street. This story was confirmed by someone who worked with George back in the day. This man met a recent theater actress at a random meeting one day near Cranbrook. She had her own experience one day when she came in early to exercise on stage and noticed a white figure in the balcony watching her. Another actress found her on the back steps of the theater a while later, visibly shaken. This spirit has shown himself to people and they believe that it is the spirit of George. So I looked into this, of course, and I didn't come up with anything. But there could be a number of different factors in play, since we do supposedly have confirmation from a previous employee who worked with George. I'm not sure how much missing persons were recorded back then, especially a man with no suspected foul play. Maybe it was just assumed he decided to leave. If you happen to have a family member or know of someone who worked there in the 70s, please message me. Our last theater is the McPherson Playhouse in Victoria, BC. I did briefly speak to an employee who didn't want to give too much information. They don't really talk publicly about spirits anymore. Sometimes around Halloween, they'll post some stories on Facebook, but in an article done by CTV, they also did say that they've been trying to keep the stories quieter for fear of scrutiny or impact on the theater's success. So I'll say this off the top, don't go there hoping for ghost hunting or a ghost tour. If you're there for another reason, however, keep your eyes peeled for the Grey Lady. The Grey Lady is described as running or floating and wearing a long grey coat. She's said to live in the balcony, and her most famous appearance was during the rehearsal for the aptly named A Woman in Black, which is a play about a vengeful spirit of a scorned woman. Now please remember this detail for my research. The technical director by the name of Morris recalls the building was locked up tight that night. We knew no one was up in that balcony for the first half of the rehearsal, he said. The two lead actors complained of a woman running around the balcony of their closed rehearsal. They asked them to describe the woman that they saw, and they confirmed that it could only be the Grey Lady. This next story is from one of their old Halloween Facebook posts. And it talks about how at the end of a show, once the theater's locked up, the cast and crew will gather in the green room to analyze the night's performance and to socialize. The green room in the McPherson Playhouse is located directly below the stage. So the night of this story, everyone was gathered below, chatting, when they heard a large crash and loud footsteps moving across the stage above their heads. Everyone in the room at the time looked up at the ceiling, and two of the stagehands looked at each other. They ran toward the stairs up to the stage. They both had thought the same thing. Someone must have come in through a door that was forgotten. They split off on the stairs as there's a staircase for each side of the stage. The plan was to trap the perp. With one of them emerging on either side of them, they clearly couldn't get away. They could then escort them out and survey the damage. The crashing and footsteps continued and even became louder as they moved toward the stage. The performers listening below even began to wonder if they should barricade themselves inside. As each of the stagehands reached the doors to the actual stage, there was one last massive crash. They ripped the doors open to find no one. The sound immediately stopped, but props were scattered about the stage. The stagehands checked the doors again and again, only to find that they were all locked. The cast and crew quickly decided to move their meeting to a nearby pub, where they joked that the Grey Lady must not have liked the performance that night. Or, someone suggested, maybe she was just letting them know it was her time in the theater and they needed to leave. So even though there was no suggestion in this legend as to a death happening on the property, I did check it out and didn't find any deaths at this theater. So I continued my research by just looking into more history, And I found out that it was originally the Pantages Theater, built in 1914. Alexander Pantages was a millionaire and a theater magnate who built multiple Pantages Theaters in Canada and the US. This theater specifically was named for his wife Lois Pantages. Both Lois and Alexander were both in the papers for scandals in the 20s. Lois was convicted of manslaughter for killing a man in an auto accident, and it was deemed that she had been intoxicated. Now, Alexander turned out to be a real piece of work. He was tried for sexual assault in August 1929. He was found guilty of a statutory attack on a 17-year-old dancing girl, Eunice Pringle. However, he won a retrial and in late 1931 ended up with an acquittal. After this scandal, he and his family were left in financial ruin and he ended up dying 5 years later. Could Lois Pantages be the Grey Lady? Perhaps she returned to the theater that her husband named after her? Could have held memories of the good times? Now, I had told you before to remember the subject matter of the play A Woman in Black. A play about a vengeful spirit of a scorned woman. Was this play a sore spot for her, as her husband ended up seeking out a younger girl? I'll have more information up on my blog about the Pantages Trial of the Century, and a photo of the possible Grey Lady. Remember, this is just my opinion, but let me know what you think. If you've visited any of these places and have your own stories, please let me know via my email, realscarypodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out the episode 3 post on my website. Just head over to realscarypodcast.ca and click on the heading episodes and you'll see the latest post. In it will be more information about each of these places. And as I said at the end of my last story, I'll include the information on the Pantages scandal and a photo of the possible Grey Lady. Thank you so much again to Johnny from the Vogue Theater and to Gordon from the Wild Horse. And don't forget to listen in on the next episode. It's going to be all about coastal hauntings. So until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood host, Elise.